Well, praise the Lord. It's truly a joy to be able to be here this morning and to have a part in this fellowship meeting. I was just, I was floored when Brother Turner asked me to have a part and to be one of the speakers for this meeting. And you come as a young preacher, you come to these types of meetings and you sit and you daydream, and then when it actually happens, you don't know what to do. Amen. And so I praise the Lord for this privilege to preach. And as Pastor Walters mentioned earlier, I also count it a real privilege and an honor to be able to have my wife and my children here with me today as well. And so we're excited about what God's doing with the GIBF and to look out and see all you men that represent different ministries around the country. And it's a joy today to be able to preach to you. I'm going to ask you, boy, it's amazing to me how that God just dovetails these type of meetings, how God just puts the messages together. As Brother Marshall was preaching last night, he was stomping all around what God had put on my heart several months ago. And then, and so I had to go back and stay up very late last night and rework a couple things so I didn't re-preach what he was preaching. And they said, yeah, the young guy's just going to re-preach what the older guy preached. And so, and then Pastor Walters got up here and just kind of gave him an introduction. And so we're just going to leap into the message, amen? And so I just don't have to go through the Baptist history with you, amen? And so you take your Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. And as you're turning, would you stand with me, please? Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and beginning in verse 13, Paul states, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Father, help us now as we continue with this morning session of this fellowship of Baptist preachers. Father, I pray that this morning that you would help me. Lord, you would just take control now. Hide me behind the cross. Speak through me. Lord, may I be a tool in your hand. And Father, I pray that as we leave this building today, and as we leave at the end of this week, we can go from here energized, refired, and Lord, ready to do what you've called us to do. Lord, that we will take into consideration the wonderful privilege we have to do the work of the ministry, Lord, as you seek to build your church. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I was doing a personal study through the book of Romans several months ago, and I was building several messages out of the book of Romans, and I just began to focus here as the Apostle Paul. The first 17 verses of Romans is oftentimes referred to as the introductory portion of the book of Romans, as Paul there in the very beginning of the chapter begins to lay out his credentials, his title as an apostle, his referring to himself as being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then going on to lay out for his desire to come there and be a part of what was taking place in Rome, desiring to have, as the scripture says, some fruit amongst those that were there. But as I was looking at this passage, and as I was meditating, having learned what the theme for this meeting was, God began to show me something, and he showed me a very significant truth for us to understand and to be reminded of. Now, obviously, this morning I'm not going to say anything that's new to any one of us, but I think it's valuable for us to sometimes to be reminded of some of the most basic and elementary truths that we've learned in our Christian life. One of those things that I begin to see here is Paul lays this thing out and he gives his credentials of his call and his responsibility in the work of the ministry. But then suddenly Paul pulls over here in verses 14 and 15 and 16. Paul then gives an evaluation of himself. He takes an inward look and begins to evaluate as to where the Apostle Paul is at this time in his life. And gentlemen, I think that sometimes that you and I, we have to step back from what we're doing. We have to step back from our current ministry. And we have to look at ourselves and be reminded of why I'm doing what I'm doing. You see, because the modern day evangelical movement of the day, the modern movement of theology today is to just sell out and to buy into whatever's going to grow the church, to buy into the current program and philosophy of the day, and to throw away the old paths, as we heard preached last night, and to go with whatever's going to put people in the pew. And as was mentioned last night, the truth of the matter is this: they now are admitting that it hadn't worked. But you know what? The gospel works. The Word of God works. So what does Paul do, or what does Paul say rather, as he takes this self-evaluation? If you're taking notes this morning, the title of the message is A Self-Evaluation. Three times in these verses, Paul says, I am. He says, I am. Notice, if you would please, verse 14. In verse 14, Paul states, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I am a debtor. The word debtor here, you can study it and look at it however you want to. The bottom line is the word debtor means debtor. Isn't that interesting? The word literally means to be owing to someone. It means that you and I are owing a payment. A payment is to be made. We have a responsibility to another. And as you and I sit inside this room this morning, one of the things that we must remind ourselves of is that you and I, we are indebted. We owe a debt. Who this morning do we owe a debt to? We're indebted to the Lord, our Savior. We're indebted to our Savior. You and I this morning would not be where we are in the place in which we are in life if it were not for the Savior. Amen. If it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that saved this lost young man at the age of 20, I this morning, I guarantee you, would not be standing before you. But for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my dear friends, this morning as we sit here, we owe a debt. We owe a debt to the Savior. He saved us. As I'm reminded in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. What a glorious truth that you and I must be reminded of, that we owe a debt. The Savior paid that great price. He suffered my sin. He suffered my shame. He suffered my deserving damnation so that I could have the wonderful privilege of being called a part of the redeemed, of being called saved. We owe a debt to the Savior. He saved us, but not only did He save us, but He sanctified us. Think about what you once were. Think about where you were once going. Think about the life that you once lived, and then be reminded of what God has saved you out of and what God has saved you from. I'm reminded of my life as a young man growing up. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I don't want to get ahead of myself in the message, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so as a teenager, I didn't get into a lot of trouble. I didn't get into a lot of junk. But my life was going in a direction that was taking me far away from God. As I'm reminded each time I read the book of 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when I come to verses 9 through 11, when the Scripture says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." So many today are deceived about this truth. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then notice what He says, "And such were some of you." But He says, "But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified." He says, "You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, we're indebted to the Lord in that He's our Savior. We're indebted to the Lord in that He sanctified us. But you know, I find it interesting. He saved us, He sanctified us, but I find it interesting how He continues to serve us. You see, the Scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare. He's serving. He's preparing a place for you. Now, you can do what you want and say what you want. I've heard these guys that, well, they want to say, well, Brother Abbott, you understand there that in the book of John, in chapter 14, that word there, in the King James, that word there, mansions, really isn't mansions. Let me tell you something. I have a family of six. I have four children and my wife and I. We live in a 490-square-foot travel trailer. Don't rob me of the thought of a mansion one day, okay? You can do with that what you want to, preacher, but I'm looking forward to a mansion, amen? Hey, 101 Gold Street, Bill Abbott's going to be there, amen? That's what I'm looking forward to. Hey, listen, the Scripture says He's going to prepare a place for us. He's going to prepare a place for us. Hey, we're indebted to the Savior. Not only are we indebted to the Savior, but hey, listen, we're indebted to His servants. We're owing His servants. You see, many of us are where we are today because of a pastor. A man that took the time somewhere down the line. He invested his life in you. He preached to you. He prayed for you. He taught you. And even as my pastor, who was here on this platform just a few moments ago, he tolerated some pretty dumb questions every now and then. Amen. Somewhere down the line, there's someone that has invested in you. It may be a pastor. He poured himself into you with hopes that you would continue on with the things that you had been taught and continue on in the old paths and continue on in the Word of God to serve God. But what's happened is we've forgotten that indebtedness, and as a result of that, we lose sight of where God wants us to go. And that's how we get pulled into areas of service. And areas in which God never intended on our churches, our ministries, and our lives to be involved. You see, His servants, there's pastors, there's parents. I mentioned a moment ago, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but some of you in here, you had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home. You were saved at a young age, and you missed out on some of the dregs of sin. You missed out on the scars that come along with all of that, and you've been raised up in a place where you were loved and nurtured, and you were brought up in an atmosphere that fostered the very desire to serve God. And you have a responsibility to carry on that which your parents have built into you and to lead that, but then with your own children, to pour that into them that they might do the same thing. You see, we have that responsibility, that indebtedness to servants, pastors, and parents. I heard Steve Robertson say this one time while preaching to a group of teenagers. He said that he was in a hotel. He was preaching for a church. They had put him in a pretty sorry hotel in a bad part of town. He's not sure exactly how it came about, but shortly after he got into his hotel room, he said the telephone rang and he picked up the phone. And it was a female voice on the other end. And the female voice asked him, would he like some company for the evening? To which Brother Robertson said, how did you get this number? It doesn't matter, was the reply. Would you like to have a little company this evening? Brother Robertson said, I don't know how you got this number. Don't call this room again. He slammed the phone down. And Brother Robertson said, I sat there on the side of my bed and I began to weep. He said, because as I had that phone conversation, he said, I could see my mother in my mind. He said, I could see my mother in my mind. And he said, I could not bear the thought of the decision that could have been made and the very disappointment that I could have brought to my mother and the very shame that I could have brought on my Lord. You see, we're indebted. We owe a debt. Paul said, I'm indebted both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You see, as we look at this passage, you have to understand the Roman mindset to whom Paul is writing here. The Greeks, the Romans, they viewed themselves as being the highest of society. And if you were not a Greek, then you were considered as a barbarian. You were considered to be the very offscourings of the earth. You had no position if you were not a part of the Greek and so, the Greek culture and a Greek society. So Paul says, I owe a debt both to the Greeks, those at the highest of society, and to those, the barbarians, to those at the very lowest. He says, I owe a debt to both the wise and the unwise. I owe a debt. I'm indebted to those that are at the highest of the educational scale to those that are at the very lowest educational scale. I owe a debt. And my dear friend, as you and I sit here this morning, we must be reminded of the debt that we owe to those that have poured their lives into us, those that have shared those things that have brought us to the place where we are today, that we do seek to hold those old paths. You see, the Savior, we're indebted to the Savior, we're indebted to servants. But you know, as God has called us into the different ministries that each of us have, some evangelists, some pastors, and those that have gone to foreign fields to plant and pastor churches in other nations and lands, as God has called us to do that, we also have a responsibility and we're indebted to the saved. People that we've led to the Lord, people I've led to the Lord, people you've led to the Lord, we have a responsibility to continue to hold true to those things that the Word, concerning the Word of God, as thus saith the Lord. People that are looking to us for guidance, for direction. And when one of us makes that decision to move, when one of us finds ourselves falling into that trap where we sell out for a simple moment of pleasure, where we sell out for some cheap imitation, when we find ourselves selling out, then what happens is there's a great fallout. And it happens when we forget our indebtedness. It happens when we forget our indebtedness. People that expect us to live according to the Scripture. You say, I don't like that, Brother Abbott. I don't like being put in a glass house. Well, the reality of it is, my dear friend, that you are in a glass house because when people look at you, they see the Lord. You're the Lord's representation, and you and I must seek to live out as best we can. Yeah, we're going to blow it every once in a while. Yes, every now and then, things aren't going to go like we expect, and there are going to be times that happen. And if you're arrogant enough to think it's never going to happen to you, stay away from me because I don't want to be there when it happens. Amen. But the reality is, things are going to happen. There are going to be times when you're going to blow it, but it's what you do when you recognize you've blown it. See, we have an indebtedness to the Savior, to His servants, to the saved, but also there's another group we're indebted to. We're indebted to sinners. We're indebted to sinners. Let me tell you a little bit about myself right quick. I grew up in Mississippi. That's where the whole confusion comes from. Not that I'm from Mississippi, I'm confused or anything, but remember, Brother Spence, you have to preach and I will heckle you, okay? I grew up in Mississippi. I was originally born in Alabama. We moved to Mississippi and just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, there in northwest Mississippi. And all my life I've played ball. I went to college out of high school on a baseball scholarship. And I was what I refer to as a silent rebel. I always wore my hair decent. I like to dress nice. That was the way I was brought up, how my mama taught me how to dress, and I always wanted to honor my parents, but I was a silent rebel. I was the guy that on the outside everything looked okay, but I was doing everything I wasn't supposed to be when I was out of the sight of authority. But as I was playing ball in college, there were several guys that I played ball with. Again, this was a state school, and several guys I played ball with, they were presidents and vice presidents of the Baptist Student Union, and these guys claimed to be believers, but the problem was this. The problem was they were listening to the same music I was listening to. They were doing the same dance steps that I was doing. They were running around doing a lot of the very same things that I was doing, and so I looked at those guys who claimed to be saved, and I looked at them, and I said, why should I choose what they have, because they're really no different than I am. You see, you and I are indebted to sinners that we live a life before them. We live a life that honors and pleases God. We live a life that demonstrates a true transition and change within our life that only God can do. Why should the sinner change if we don't? The reality is we're indebted to sinners because they need our message. Because had not someone brought that message to you and I, we would still be sinners. You see, Paul understood his position here as he evaluates himself. He says, I'm a debtor. Do you view yourself this morning indebted? Do you view yourself indebted to those people around you, those people that are taking the time to invest in you? Do you understand how that there are people around you that are allowing you to be doing what you're doing? You see, There's people that have an impact in our lives on a daily basis that sometimes we ignore. We're indebted as men of God. We're allowed to do the ministry that God's called us to because there are people that invest in us. We're here. Many of you are here. You're full-time in the ministry that you're in. Why? Because the church in which you have, there are people that sacrifice and invest in that ministry. There are people that sacrifice and invest so that you can do what God has called you to do. There's men back home today that are going to work 10 and 12-hour days so that on Sunday they can do what God has called them to do in a form of worship by placing their faith promise or by placing their tithe in that offering place and they're sacrificing to support that you and I might do the work that we do. We're indebted. We owe a debt. And it's because of that, as Paul moves, as the passage transitions then, as he says there in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Then he moves into verse 15. So as much as in me is. Hey, as much as it's in me, this desire that I have. Notice what he says now. He says, I am, number two, ready to preach. He says, I'm not only a debtor, but then he says, I'm ready to preach. And you and I, my dear friend, I don't know about you, but every time I go to a pastor's fellowship, every time I come to a meeting like this, I sit there in the pew and I think, if I was getting to preach, what would I preach? Why is that? Well, it's like with the prophet Jeremiah. When Jeremiah said, I wasn't going to even talk about him anymore. Jeremiah said, I wasn't even going to bring him up. He says, as Scripture says in verse 20 and verse 9 of Jeremiah, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. My dear friends, as we sit here, we have a responsibility to evaluate ourselves and the ministry that God has given us. We need to understand, number one, we're debtors, but number two, we need to understand we ought to be ready to preach. That word ready there, that adjective that describes Paul right here in his ready condition. And number one, it's telling us that you and me, we need to be prepared when we get in the pulpit. You understand that? We need to be prepared. We have a responsibility to be prepared. Why? Because as I mentioned a moment ago, those people that are out there that are sacrificing, that guy that's going to work that job, going to drive that truck, run that business, that man that's going to invest in the work of that local church, he's expecting when he sits down in that pew on Sunday morning or on Sunday night or on Wednesday, he's expecting that you or I or whoever stands in that pulpit has spent the time with God preparing to bring a message from God where he's prayed and pondered and worked through the Scripture that he might deliver what that man needs at that time. And when you and I understand our responsibility, we come to the sacred desk prepared and ready to preach. We have a responsibility to be prepared to preach. Regretfully, modern technology is beginning to rob us of that ability to think and to articulate on our own thoughts. I'm like Brother Marshall said, and Brother Walters just said before me, I like modern technology. I like having the ability to use the internet. I like the ability to have computer programs. But there's nothing like sitting down with the Word of God and reading the Bible. There's nothing like sitting down and reading a book where God has enlightened some man on a particular topic to help enlighten our mind and begin to create thought for us. I enjoy that. And we need to maintain that inner. I know men that have gone total to the technological side. They've done away with their entire library and everything is on computer. What are they going to do one day when that computer blows up? The internet's a great invention, but it's caused us to become lazy in many ways. It's become too easy. It's become too easy to run to the internet and download a message from Dr. Whoever, from wherever, and to begin to work it into our own way. I'm not for, now listen to me. There's many times I sit in a service like this right here, and God will give me a seed thought, and I'm robbing you guys just as quick as you can preach it, amen? And I've had guys come up to me and tell me, now, brother, when you come to my church, don't preach that message. It took me a long time. I thought he was saying he didn't want me to preach that message in the church. What he was saying, by the time I got there, he will have already preached it. Amen. And so he was doing me a favor. He didn't want me to look bad having preached my message before me. Amen. They're sitting out there going, well, that guy stole our preacher's message. So. It's important we keep our minds engaged with new and fresh thoughts. We must discipline ourselves to the quiet solace of a private study. I remember at my ordination, my home pastor back home in Mississippi. I remember when I was ordained under Brother Walters, when my home pastor came and preached that sermon, he looked me directly in the face and he said, Brother Abbott, you're going to have to remember, if you're going to serve God, you got to spend time alone. We need to get back to preparation. We need to get back to that time of alone, that time of spending time with God, that place where we meet God upon our face in prayer and where we see His face in the Scripture. The Apostle said in Acts chapter 6, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. So wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Many have left the prayer closet and the ministry of the Word today and have begun to serve tables. We live in an ever-changing and educated society, and that requires our continual work towards staying fresh and current with modern teachings concerning the cults and theological movements of the day. Our preaching must demonstrate the work and labor of a well-thought-out and prepared speech meant to persuade men and women of all walks of life for the cause of Jesus Christ. All of that happens through diligent preparation. Paul said, I'm ready. That word ready tells me he was prepared. But it also tells me something else. He says, I'm ready to preach. That tells me he had passion. You see, the word here in our Bible that's translated ready, the literal idea behind this word here, In the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 15, the word ready here literally is an eagerness. He was hungry to preach. You see it all throughout the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. When Paul would roll into town, Paul would roll into town and he was automatically looking for that place where he could go and preach the gospel. Therefore, you and I must become passionate about the Word of God. No one wants to be a part of something that has no zeal. These fellers that call themselves preachers today. I'm sorry, I don't want any part of this limp-wristed, weak-kneed, sissified stuff. I don't want to have to walk around with a smile on my face going, it's just all love. You must do away with those negative anchor thoughts. And you must begin to tell yourself, I am loved. I'm special. God wants to use me. And God does want to do all those things. And we are special in the sight of God. But God told you and me that we're to preach the Word of God. The word here that's translated preach in our Bible is from the Greek word euangelizo, which means to evangelize. You and I are to share the gospel in such a way that it causes men to be drawn through the power of the Holy Spirit to understand their lost condition. And yes, as Brother Marshall said, we must preach repentance. You see, when I was in Bible college, I was in a homiletics class, and as you men know, when you're in homiletics, you have those times throughout the semester where you have to preach. And we were preaching an evangelistic message, and there was this fellow that was preaching, and he was one of these guys. He wanted to parse every word, and he wanted to explain all of the grammatical aspects of the text. And he was speaking in a very monetary type tone, and was trying to expound to the class there, but he was preaching an evangelistic message, right? And so, in this particular class, you had a critique sheet, and you got to critique the guy that was preaching. And so, I took down his outline, and then on my comment section at the bottom, this is what I wrote. I said, if I were in the street, about to be run over by a car, would you say to me? And I wrote in really small letters the words, look out, in really small. Or would you say to me, and I wrote in really big letters, would you say to me, look out? You see, because that ought to be the passion by which we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ought to be the zeal by which we bring to the pulpit that tells men that if they don't understand the message by which they are that we're preaching, if they don't understand that they must submit themselves to the Word of God, if we don't preach it with a zeal and with a fire and with a passion, the same passion that we have when we go down to the ball game, when we go out to the golf course. Now, I love golf. I do, and I'm going to play golf on Thursday. But if you're an intense golfer, please don't be on my team. I want to have fun. I'm in Florida. Amen. Okay. I don't want to be with some guy that's bending golf clubs and throwing things. Okay. All right. I mean, we're going to go out there and we're going to have fun. And I want to be on one of the Webster's team because they're going to win. But anyway, that's because those guys can play. All right. And so I mean, I do want to win, but I want to have fun too. Okay. But I don't want it to be all intense. But you know what? We ought to have the same passion as we come to this pulpit. We ought to have the same passion that when we scream with our favorite sports team, that we ought to have the same passion that we preach the gospel. Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. Oh, that we'd have that passion. You see, we should love and long and desire to preach. Preach should be built into us. We ought to want to preach. And you young men that are at Florida Baptist College, learn that. Build it into you. Preach, men. Preach the Word of God. If there's anything that's needed out there today, it's preaching. Preach the Word. You'll never go wrong if you preach the Word. You'll always have somewhere to preach if you'll preach the Word. You see, he says, I'm ready to preach. He was prepared. And he had a passion. You see, Paul, notice how he states it, though, in verse 15. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He tacks that also on there. What that means is this. As I'm getting to Rome, I'm going to be preaching. And when I get to Rome, I'm still going to be preaching. And see, here's what happens, though. Here's what happens. A lot of times we get trapped in this thing. I'm looking for a better Rome. Nah, just go on and take care of the Rome God's got you in right now. Amen. Just go on and preach on the. Just go on and hold the ground where God's got you right now. Just go ahead and sink the plow right now and just do what God's called you to do right now. If God's got you fellas in Bible college, man, look for every opportunity to preach and get out there and preach right now. And then when God puts you in your Rome where He's going to send you, because I'm going to tell you now, America's becoming a modern day Rome. See, so just go preach. And as you preach where you are, if you happen to be in Florida, preach. If you're in Texas, preach. I was amazed last night as we was going around the room where everybody was from. They're from Florida and Texas and Oklahoma. Where's the rest of the country? But anyway, I can't make any jokes on y'all's football program out there. I get beat up. There's too many of you in here. I heard Brother Abel say the other day at church, I was down at Brother Nancy's church on Sunday, I heard Brother Abel say three things that gets him in trouble. Texas, cats, and women. Preaching on women. He says it gets him in trouble all the time. Well, the whole cat thing gets me in trouble. Preaching on women. Well, I'm married to one, so I'm leaving that alone. But anyway, and busting on sports teams. I have more fun than that. I was in the Carolinas. If you've never been to the Carolinas, Clemson fans are about as bad as Texas fans. But anyway, but I like Texas people better than I do Clemson people. But anyway, here's my point. Wherever God's put you, whatever Rome God's put you in, just sink the plow and hold the court and preach the Word. That's what's going to build your church, preaching. That's what's going to build your people, preaching. That's what's going to save souls, preaching. Going out and knocking doors and preaching and sharing the gospel. That's what's going to save souls. Hey, Paul says, I'm ready to preach to you that are at Rome also. In other words, I'm going to be preaching as I get there. When I get there, I'm just going to go keep on with the same message. He says, number one, I'm a debtor. He says, number two, I'm ready to preach. And then number three, and I'm done. He says in verse 16, all of us probably could quote this verse in unison. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now here's what's interesting. This is the Apostle Paul. You ever stop to think this thought through for just a moment? I mean, we quote that. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But have you ever thought for just a moment, just thought through the fact why Paul would say, have to clarify, I'm not ashamed? You ever thought about that? You ever thought that thought through? Why did Paul feel it necessary to say, I'm not ashamed? Well, where was he going? He was going to Rome. And some writers have referred to as the very place of Rome as being the cesspool of sin. He was going to a place where it was academia. He'd gone where great philosophers had lived. He was going to a place where he was going to face opposition. It was Rome that had had a part in putting the Lord to death. It was Rome that had crucified the Lord. It was Rome that now he was going to go there and preach the gospel of the one that had been crucified. He had some apparent reasons why he might be a little timid. But he said, I'm not. I think if most men in here in this room were asked this morning, if we were to say of the entire group, who in this room is ashamed of the gospel, not one person would stand up and say, right here, Brother Abbott, I'm ashamed of it. Not one person in here would. But can I ask you a very pointed question, my dear friend? Do you still give the gospel as zealous as you did when you were first saved? Are you still as zealous for door knocking and for soul winning as you were when you first took that ministry and there wasn't anybody to make mad that was a good giver in the church? Are you still as zealous to preach as you once preached the Word of God? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. He says, I'm a debtor. He says, I'm ready. I'm eager. I'm hungry. I'm anxious to be there. And I am not ashamed. Paul was going into a place that was not going to be his friend. And as a result, he knew that he must be clear. When I get there, I'm going to preach. The origin of the gospel is stated here in this verse. Notice what he says now in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was going to preach the death, the burial, and the very resurrection of the Lord. He was not going to back up. He wasn't going to shut up. He wasn't going to give up. My dear friends, he was going to put it right out there where they were. You see, we see the origin of the gospel and that it was the gospel of Christ. We see the operation of the gospel. The Scripture says it is the power of God. Power. We know that that word that's translated in our Bible is the Greek word dunamis. We know it's where we get our English word dynamite, because when dynamite was invented at that time, the greatest word that they could describe for that power was to use the Greek word this dunamis that's in our Bible as power. That's where the word dynamite comes from. But the reality is this: the Word of God and the power of God far surpasses that of dynamite. We have a message that can impact a world around us. Remember in Acts chapter 16. Remember in Acts chapter 16 what happened to Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas go to a place where prayer was wont to be made. They lead a lady named Lydia to the Lord. They stay in her home, and then they begin to be followed around by this demon-possessed girl. Paul grows is weary in his soul over it. Paul rebukes the demon, casts it out of the lady. Her owners get mad because they see that the hopes of their gains was lost. So they drag them before the magistrates. And do you remember what they said? Said, these men do teach things that are not lawful. But then they go on to say this, that these men here that we've brought before you, and I want to look because I don't want to misquote it. They said they brought them before the magistrates. These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. You know what we need to do? We need to go home and trouble our city. Now, don't go home and get put in jail and call me and tell me, I did it, preacher. All right. Don't call Brother Turner and say, that crazy evangelist you had preached got me put in jail. Okay. That's not what I'm telling you. But you know what? We ought to get on fire. We ought to get on fire as we evaluate ourselves and ask ourselves the question, might I have become in recent days a little bit ashamed? Have I lost some of that zeal that I once had? Am I as eager to preach as I once was? Do I understand my indebted position before the people that God has called me to serve and to the place where God has called me to serve?